The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Jennifer Rothschild helps you gain a deeper understanding of heaven.
Blindness is really hard, but earth is short and heaven is long. And it's the truth, Tammy. Earth is short and heaven is long. And I think that's when the Lord began to teach me some truths about heaven that shaped not just my hope for that day, but how the reality of that day gives me hope on this day.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tammy Trent. Welcome to Life Today. I'll be honest, I love these moments when I get to sit here across from a friend and have real conversations about Jesus, about life, the struggles, the questions, and most importantly, the hope we want to bring to somebody watching who might feel like you're just running a little bit low on it. Well, my friend with me today is Jennifer Rothschild, and she has a brand new Bible study out called Heaven When Faith Becomes Sight. It's packed with video teachings and so much more. And let me just say, it's so, so good. Jennifer, welcome back to Life Today. We sure do love you here, girl.
Well, I love being here. Thanks, Tammy.
I do love you so much. I get to be on the road with you so often doing women's events, and I absolutely love it. Anytime I get the chance to be in any kind of space with you, I grow, I'm better, I laugh, it's fun. And so today I think is gonna feel just the same.
Yes.
So I'm gonna start up at the top. When I look at your book, Heaven, the subtitle says, When Faith Becomes Sight. And I feel like there is a much deeper meaning in that because of your life, what you've walked through, and people might not even see it at this moment.
Right.
So could you kind of take us back a little bit on that?
Well, When Faith Becomes Sight is so important to me because I literally do walk by faith and not by sight. I mean, all of us do, really, in Christ. But in a very literal sense, I walk by faith, not by sight. Because when I was 15, as you know, I was diagnosed with a disease in both of my eyes called retinitis pigmentosa. So that meant very quickly, like just within 3 or 4 months as a 15-year-old girl, I just continued to lose eyesight. I couldn't read off a chalkboard, couldn't read out of my textbook. I couldn't see my face. All my facial features kind of just blended. And so I was diagnosed with this disease where my retinas were deteriorating. Okay, so fast forward now, decades later, this disease was totally degenerative, which meant the remainder of my retinas deteriorated. So now I've lived in physical darkness longer than I lived in physical light. And if not for Christ, if not for the reality of the truth of Scripture and the presence of the Lord, there's just no way that I would be able to do this faith walk. But so in many ways, I'm trusting other people, right? When I'm walking, I've got my faith in that person whose arm I'm holding. I've got my faith in not seeing what's ahead, but knowing who's standing beside me. And so it's just a beautiful metaphor. I mean, it's a difficult metaphor, but it's a beautiful metaphor for life. But then, Tammy, the reason I've written a Bible study on heaven, because there will come a day when this faith will become sight, not just for me, but for everyone who's in Christ.
Oh, my goodness. There's so many of my friends writing studies and books on heaven right now, and I'm loving it. But I feel like, why now?
Yeah.
What was the drive for you? What made you excited about going, okay, I'm going to write a new book and I think I'm going to write it on heaven? Why now? And what brought you to that place?
Well, for me, heaven has always been this someday, eventually, just hang on until then, right?
Yes.
And so I found a lot of hope there. I mean, I believe it was Thomas More who actually wrote, and then David Crowder artistically put it in a song, but there is no sorrow on earth that heaven can't heal. And so I held on to the hope of heaven as my someday until I began to study it and realize, no, wait a minute, the hope of that day can get me through this day.
Yes.
So I'll tell you this. I was with my daughter-in-law, and we were in the kitchen. She was brand new in our home. Okay. And I love my Caroline. And I was trying to impress her. And so here I was, Thanksgiving, which is like the Olympics of meal prep, right?
Right.
And I had gotten it. I was doing it all myself because I wanted to impress
good
my new
girl,
daughter-in-law.
Good girl.
So in my kitchen, like, I have things marked on my microwave tactile dots. So I can independently cook. I'm not saying I do a great job, but I can do it, okay?
Two different things, right?
Right, and we're not going to talk about the quality. We're just going to talk about the ability.
I can do it, yes.
All right, so I do it. Well, anyway, as I'm doing it, I am forgetting where I put a pot, and so I burn my arm on it. I forget that I left the microwave door open, and I bang my face on it. And so my sweet Caroline is sitting over at the bar, and she's like, can I help you? I'm, nope, I got this. Well, it was obvious, Tammy. I did not have this.
That's right.
But I wouldn't let her help. And so finally, she says to me, blindness must be so hard. And I remember standing right in front of my stovetop with that microwave in front of me. And I paused. And to be very honest, at that moment, I was embarrassed. I was humiliated. I felt so confined, like my dignity. I wanted to be able to do the things that I wished I could do. And blindness was just not letting me. And it was like the Lord just downloaded a truth to me. And I remember turning toward the bar where she was sitting and saying, yes, blindness is really hard, but earth is short and heaven is long. And it's the truth, Tammy. Earth is short and heaven is long. And I think that's when the Lord began to teach me some truths about heaven that shaped not just my hope for that day, but how the reality of that day gives me hope on this day.
Yes.
Because everything I deal with, everything every listener and viewer is dealing with right now, everything you're dealing with, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, is it might be heavy and it might be hard, but it is a light.
Yeah.
And temporary trouble. And it's working within us a far greater weight of glory. So therefore, we fix our eyes on that which is unseen.
Yes.
Because what is unseen is eternal.
Exactly. I mean, there's so many things, don't you think, that because we don't know a lot about heaven, and yet when we study it, we do. Like, Jen, this Bible study, when I dove into it, there's a lot I didn't know about heaven that I do know now. It's like, how do you change your perspective just like that, where heaven is short, earth is short, heaven is long? Mm-hmm. And what about with the people that feel like, well, is it going to be boring? How do we change our thinking from heaven is going to be boring because I've been told I'm going to wear a robe and I'm going to be singing all day long and there's going to be a harp player? You know, so how can we think about it as a beautiful place of the anticipation and the excitement of what has been prepared for me? How can you get people excited about that?
Well, the thing is, sometimes we think of heaven as merely a place. And I got to be honest, I did. And it is. It is a material place. It is a literal place. But heaven is more than a place. Heaven is a person. I used to think, and this is why I started writing it, to be honest, writing about heaven. I wanted heaven so bad because when I'm in heaven, I will not be blind.
Oh,
I mean, the Bible says there will be no more tears, no more pain. The former things are wiped away. Well, blindness is going to be a former thing. And I can't wait to dance and to run and to serve and to do all the things. And so for me, the treasure of heaven is to know as I am known, to be able to see. And the other treasure of heaven, which I think you would probably deeply relate to, is to be with my daddy.
Yes.
I love my daddy. I wanted to be with my daddy, and he went to heaven. You love Trent.
Yes.
He went to heaven.
Yeah.
And to me, those were the treasures of heaven, being with the people I love, getting what I've lost here on earth
back. Absolutely. Yes.
But the more I studied it, the more I realized that those are not the point of heaven. Those are the pointers. They actually point to the true treasure of heaven, which is Jesus, whom we were made for, where every longing we have ever had he has created those longings within us because they can be fulfilled in relationship with him. So now that can occur on this side of eternity as we walk with him. And then someday when we get to heaven, it won't be just like this great introduction, like finally we get to meet Jesus. No, it'll be a reunion
so
because
good.
We're walking with him today And then it'll be a reunion with him someday in heaven.
So good. What a reunion that'll be. And you're right. I do have a lot more thought about heaven than I ever did growing up as a young girl. Yeah. It feels like there's a big investment there.
Yeah, there is. You know, sweeter in it.
Yes. Trent has gone before me. I think often of what he might be doing in heaven at this very moment. Yeah. It brings me joy, actually, now. You know, before, yeah. I think the separation made me feel sad, yeah. and early on in my loss. But I think as the years have gone on, as healing has come, mm-hmm. I have found more joy in thinking of the life that he's living, the life he was born to live,
yes,
you know, yeah. and all the things he's experiencing. You know, yeah. I think sometimes because he loved to dive, and that's where he took his last breath was in the Blue Lagoon yeah. in Jamaica, in the water when he was free diving. And so I think he must be exploring everything to do with water in heaven, which brings me to this question. Mm. Frankly, is there an ocean in heaven? Is there water in heaven? You know, all the questions
right.
that we all have, and there's so many. And I wonder, some of the biggest questions that we all have about heaven, it's like that. Will Trent recognize me? Will your dad recognize me? Mm. What kind of relationship will we have? Will his dog be there? Will his 14-foot right. python snake be there?
Oh,
I hope
goodness.
Not.
I hope not.
I hope not. You know, but what will I look like? And we talk about a new body. What kind of body will yeah. I have? Do I get to pick it out? You know, do we have jobs?
Okay, well, you ask so many questions there. And that is exactly why I wrote the Bible study.
Okay, good.
Because it is a lot. But let me just hit this broadly. What you are asking questions, they point to this need to have certain knowledge or perfect knowledge, okay? Mm-hmm. And there are certain things that we will never have perfect knowledge about mm-hmm. because we just don't know. I mean, the only person who ever really has firsthand knowledge of heaven is Jesus himself.
That's right, yeah.
Paul even said he was caught up to the third heaven in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and to paradise, to the third heaven. And he literally said over and over in 2 Corinthians 12, I don't know, God knows, I don't know, God knows.
Yeah.
Because we don't, we're not going to have perfect
okay.
knowledge, but we can have certain knowledge. And there are certain things in Scripture that we are certain about. Now, you mentioned, like, is there water in heaven? We also have to look at heaven as a present heaven right now, what scholars, this $10 word, would call the intermediate state. But it's the place Trent is. It's the place my dad is. Anyone who has died in Christ, that's where they are right now, in the Father's house, in the presence of the Lord, the place that Jesus has prepared for them. Yet there will come a day when Christ returns. And this world as we know it will be made new, and we will all enter into what I call the forever heaven
yes.
of the new earth.
Yes.
And it's interesting, Tammy, the Bible says in Revelation that there will be no more sea. Well, for someone like Trent, that's not good
news. That's not good.
And so we have to look at how, when the Bible is using poetic language also. And when you think of the sea in Scripture, it often represents chaos.
It's true.
And if you look at a globe, you know what it looks like too? If you see the sea, it represents separation.
Oh.
It separates the continents. It separates the lands.
That's
and
right.
girl, there will come a day when we inhabit the new earth, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, there will be no separation. We will
Praise
be one
God.
In
yes.
the glory of the
yes.
Lamb. There will be no need for light because Jesus himself will be our light. And so I think when we don't have this perfect knowledge of all the details, we can have certain knowledge that what Jesus said, he will accomplish. And I have a feeling when you and I get there, all those questions, they're going to pale.
Oh, I know
they're
it.
Gonna,
I know it.
They're just not going to matter.
Jen, I've said that so many times. It just won't matter. When I see Jesus face to face, all the questions that I have now, they're going to fall.
They are.
They're not going to matter. I'm going to see him. I hope that I see Trent next to him and just say, hey, I missed you. It's so fun to see you. And he'll be like, what? I just saw you yesterday. And here you are.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to have just great conversations with one of my best friends that I've missed for.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking, Tammy? Because what you just said is so tender. And there's people right now I know who are feeling the same way because they've lost somebody. And the longing is so deep. And the desire to be united with them in that perfect communion again.
Yeah.
But you know what? When you're in Christ and you pause and you worship, or when you're in Christ and you show up with your fellow brothers and sisters in church and you look to the heavens and you open your mouth next to your brothers and sisters in worship, I don't believe you're ever any closer to that loved one who you've lost than when you are worshiping here, because that's what they're doing right now around the throne.
Praise God.
They are singing holy, holy, holy to the Lamb. Mm. So if you're feeling the loss, if you're feeling the longing, oh yes, shed those tears, because there's going to come a day when there won't be one left on your face. But you know what? You also recognize that as you worship, that you're never closer to that loved one than you were when they were standing next to you and worshiping alongside you, because they're worshiping right now with you.
Keeps me closer to Jesus.
It keeps
the
you closer.
The thought of it, the thought of a future, the thought of my destiny keeps me closer. It should keep us closer.
Yes, it should give us hope for today.
It gives us hope for today and tomorrow. My goodness, Jen. So what I think I hear you saying is, there's no water in heaven.
Well, I'm not going to be the expert. I think Revelation does use figurative language. But I think the point is, we're going to be so enamored by Jesus that the rest of it won't matter. But you know what? I do believe that this earth will be restored and made new.
Absolutely.
And I do believe that, yes, animals, flourishing, work, water, the beauty of the earth, anything that glorifies God will be in its perfect state.
Absolutely.
On the new
like
earth.
Everything he created that was good and that was meant for good will be there. So if you loved your dog, I'm sure you'll see him running around. If you loved water, I'm sure Trent has gotten great invitation into the greatest seas that aren't causing storms, that
That's
are calm as calm, blue as blue, enjoying the greatest adventure of his life. And the toughest question for me is, and I wonder if this was hard for you to write about in this study. And by the way, Jen, some of my favorite stuff in this study is the video stuff you do. Mm. It's so good. I just sat in bed one night and I went from one lesson to another, but I loved it. You are such a great storyteller. You have so many great stories that you share on those videos. So it is a must have. But I wonder if this was a tough subject for you, and if you covered it, is hell real?
Ugh, Tammy, this was the hardest day.
I bet.
I called it hell day.
Did you?
It was just so hard.
Yes.
Because you can't talk about the reality of heaven without addressing with great compassion the subject of hell.
Yeah.
Because the myth is, and sometimes even in the church, the myth is that good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. Mm. And the reality is, those who have put their faith in Christ, those who have asked for forgiveness and been born again through Christ Jesus, those go to heaven. Those who have chosen to not make that choice do not go to heaven. Mm. And you know, I understand what the Bible says about hell, and the more I studied it, it's so troubling, it's so hard. It's so hard. But you know what I realized to me? What hell really is, ultimately? It is being separated from God forever, from the only true source of life and unconditional love, whether that happens after you die or in this life, to being separated from the God who gave his only son so that we should know eternal life in heaven and beautiful life here on earth. I mean, to not make that choice, to not receive that invitation.
That's right.
I mean, that is hell.
My goodness.
That is hell.
We have touched on so much here, but I really want, there's so much more I want to talk to you about, because even that's tough. But you said the word, the invitation.
It is an invitation.
We have an invitation to choose life.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful invitation. I want to talk to you so much more. Can you stay and do another show with me?
I'd love to.
I feel like we can touch on a lot more stuff. I love the opportunity to do that. But right now, I just want to say to you who are watching, there's an invitation that we've also been given today. There are some people that need a little taste of heaven in their life right now that are really struggling, that are really suffering. And I think that we have been given a great invitation. We've been given a great opportunity to come alongside a bunch of people right now that need us desperately. Take a minute and watch this, and I'll come out on the other side and tell you how you can be a part.
We've spent time in this village here today, and we've spoken to various different mothers. We've been understanding their story, the challenge, the plight that they face, the suffering that this village is going through because of a lack of clean water. Not a lack of water, there's a lot of water as you can see behind me, but there's no clean water in this village. They don't have a well here. This is their only source of water that they come and collect water. It's dirty, it's disease-filled, contaminated water that they have to carry back to their families. Mothers who have two options. One option is that they could not give their children water at all. They know the outcome of that. It's pretty rapid, and it steals their children's lives. The other option is to give their children this dirty, contaminated water, and so that's the option they go for. And yet they've told us how they've lost children. We spoke to a grandmother, heartbroken, as she explained that she was the caregiver of the child. The child lost its life because of this waterborne disease. You could tell that she just felt so bad, so broken for what she had done in her mind. But the truth is, she could do nothing else because she had no option. She told us, as many others have, that they know what the solution is. The solution is a water well in their village, because that will give them fresh, clean water and save those lives. We know the need. The one missing component is you. I'm asking you to help us to bring Mission Water for Life, to drill a well and provide fresh, life-giving water to the people who are suffering so desperately. Please do it before another child's life is stolen. This is a crisis, it's an emergency, and if we don't meet their needs now, we are going to lose more children. Please give the gift of water, give the gift of life before it's too late.
Whew. It's heartbreaking to see that much water surrounding a village, yet not a single drop of it can provide life. It's so deceiving, because you look at it and you think, oh, this is perfect. This is all we need. But the tragedy is, when you drink water like that, contaminated, dirty, shared with animals, and filled with disease, you're left wondering what your fate will be. Will you live? Will this water take your life today? Without it, there's no survival, but drinking it has brought so much death as well. Now imagine holding a bottle of water, handing it to your grandchild and watching them drink. And then days later, you hear the devastating news that they've died because of it. The guilt someone must feel, that kind of pain, I'm sure it's totally unbearable. And yet, it's not their fault. There are no other options. So they take the chance and hope for the best. But here's the thing, we can give them a hope that is truly for the best, the hope of clean water. The reality is, we know how to make this happen. We've done it before, time and time again. In fact, we drilled over 8,000 water wells, and every single one of them represents hope restored and lives saved. It's a simple process, but one that brings profound change. We start by assessing the land, just like here in South Sudan. Then we get to work raising the funds to make it happen. And once the funds are secured, we make the call that says, go, go. And that's when it all begins. The team drives in a massive drilling truck into that village. They set everything up and drill, drill, drill until we hit fresh, clean water. And when that water finally bursts forth, the entire village comes alive, dancing in the water. I've danced in the water with them. We're praising God together and celebrating a brand new day of hope. But none of this, not any of it, is possible without you. That's why I'm asking for your help today. And here's what that looks like. Each well, on average, costs $4,800 and lasts a period of 70 years. That's fresh, clean water for about 1,000 people for the rest of their lives. Would you consider giving that? What an incredible gift that could be to those people right now. And for some of you, $4,800, I know it's a lot, but would you consider giving them $48, which will help provide water for 10 people for the rest of their life? Or $144, which will help provide water for 30 people? I know there are so many urgent needs around the world right now, and it can feel overwhelming to decide where to even give. But I can confidently tell you this, entire villages will thrive again, and families will have a chance at a better, brighter future, all because of something as simple as clean water. Something that simple, that's so life-changing. Listen, this is our last week of our Water for Life emphasis. So would you go online? Would you make a call today and give whatever gift that you can give to this mission, Water for Life? And when you do, we'd love to send you Jennifer's Bible study on heaven. You're going to love it. I promise you that. So just let us know you'd like it, and we'll send it to you right away. God bless you.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Dr. Don Cobert's new book, Spiritual Health Zone. Discover the key to living in divine health as you find a roadmap to adding joy, peace, and years to your life. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the He Restores My Soul candle set. This decorative candle and match set will inspire you to remember the restoring presence of Jesus, the true light of the world. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our new bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah, inspired by Revelation 5:5. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Hope you're going online and giving the best gift that you can give today. You must know truly that it will make an enormous difference in the lives of so, so many that desperately need it today, right now. It's truly urgent. It's our last week of our Water for Life emphasis. So would you go online, pick up the phone, go online, and we've got somebody waiting to take your call right now. And for whatever gift that you're able to give today, I want to send you Jennifer's brand new Bible study, Heaven, When Faith Becomes Sight. I promise you, you will love it. Jennifer, I love you. I'm so glad you're here. What a great conversation. Please stick around. We'll talk some more. We'll do another show. Does that sound okay?
Sounds great.
Listen, and I hope this time that we all got to spend together today, I hope it was encouraging to you, as it always is to me when I get to spend time right now with Jennifer. It's so, so good. She has a way of helping all of us see the beauty of who God is through her eyes and her faith. Let's not just wonder about heaven. Let's live to embrace it with faith that's anchored and grounded in eternity. God bless you so much. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time right here on Life Today.
Dr. Don Cobert explains how love is the eternal, nourishing root of all wellness in the Spiritual Health Zone. Tomorrow on Life Today.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.